There's a line from the hymn that we sang this evening that really caught my attention, and I think it well applies to the message that I want to speak about tonight. In that hymn 428, in the third verse it says, "And feel the promise is not vain." And I want to speak about a man who believed that the promises of God were not in vain. And because he believed that, he was prepared to stand against all opposition. And I think of in the New Testament, we come to 1 Peter, and our 2 Peter, and Peter says that are given unto us precious promises. And these promises have been given to us that we might live by them, and that we might be encouraged as we look forward to our Lord Jesus Christ coming again. In the Hebrew epistle it says, looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the individuals I'd like to speak about this evening are really in the Old Testament. And they didn't know about Christ, but they were looking off unto God. And they were seeing that God could provide for them everything they needed. And that God gave promises that were not in vain. That those promises would be fulfilled. And so when we think of these, you think of these individuals as individuals that stand as an encouragement to believers. Because they anchored their life and their future upon what the promise that God would give. So I'd like to read in the book of Numbers. The first, we've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. And we'll read just a few verses in Numbers 13. And then there are a few other verses that I'd like to read as well. So Numbers 13, we'll read from verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." I drop down to verse 6. "Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh." Go down to verse 30. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Would you like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1? There's just a couple of verses in this chapter that I'd like to read. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 35. Or we'll read from verse 34. "And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see the good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." And then I'd like to read a few verses in chapter 2 of Joshua. Chapter 2 of Joshua, beginning from verse 8. "And before they were laid down," and this is the spies who have gone into Jericho to spy out the land that Joshua had sent them to spy out the land. And now verse 8, "And before they were laid down, she," this is Rahab, "came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and that what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a sure token. We'll go down to verse 18. And behold, and these are the spies are speaking now, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And go down to verse 21. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. She bound a scarlet line in the window. And a final reading in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, reading from verse 6. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. You'll notice that in verse 8, Caleb says, the Lord is my God. Verse 9, Moses says, the Lord is my God. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for to war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed him, gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now we believe that the Lord will bless this portion of scripture that's been read to us. When I look at these two individuals, Caleb and Joshua, or Caleb and Rahab, I think of two individuals who saw how great a God they had. And they took their confidence in the character of the God that they were trusting in. Now, some of you older ones, and it's surprising that I would be able to say this now, that you older ones, might remember Arnold Adams coming in the 1980s, and he gave a ministry meeting, and in that ministry meeting he said, Christian, how big is your God? Some of you may remember that. How big is your God? Then he went on to say, a big God, a big Christian. A small God, a small Christian. So Christian, how big is your God? Because I believe that these two individuals, Caleb and Rahab, were convinced of the greatness of their God. And because they were convinced of the greatness of their God, no challenge was too big for them to face. You think of Caleb, and he stood before the people, and that verse in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13 is a verse because the wording is unusual. And it's kind of hard to there. It's Caleb stilled the people before Moses is the way the King James write a word. But it could also be saying Caleb stilled the people and Moses. It is almost as if Caleb thought that he was the only one who believed that God would give him the promise. And he was trying to persuade not only the people, but trying to persuade Moses that we need to go in and possess the land. Now, it wasn't long after that that he found out that Moses believed that the people could possess the land. But for that moment, it was almost as if he thought that he was the only one that was standing for God. And it makes me think of when coming over to 1 Kings, and we come to Elijah, and Elijah says, "I'm the only one left, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "I have yet 7,000 that have not bowed my knee." And so Caleb was a man who was convinced that God was a great God. And because he was a great God, when he gave a promise, he would fulfill it. Now, when we look at this man, we're first introduced to Caleb with some very, very short words. Verse 6 of chapter 13 said, "Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh." And we are not told anything else about him. We are not told what he looked like. We are not told what he had done in the past. It made no difference. He had a new start, a new beginning, and he was going forth. And I think when I think of that, Caleb, and I think of his life, it seems to me that Ephesians 3 and 20 seemed to sum up for me the life of Caleb and his relationship to his God. Now, I'm going to read to you the way it is in the Amplified Bible. He's speaking of God, and he says, "Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we dare ask or think, beyond our highest prayers or desires or thoughts or dreams or hopes, be glory." And that's really the way Caleb saw his God. Caleb looked at God's promise, and it seemed large. But Caleb trusted that his God would do it. And he says, "If the Lord delights in us," in chapter 14, he says, "If the Lord delights in us, he'll give us the land." And then he said, "The Lord is with us." And then I think, how did God respond to Caleb's message? Well, we read in chapter 14 of Numbers that God praised Caleb for his submission, for his spirit, and for his sincerity. And God said of him, "He is my servant." Now, when you think of that expression, "He is my servant," God said that of very few people. And that was very, very high praise from God. God had said of Moses, "He's my servant." And God says of Caleb, "He's my servant." And I don't know of anyone else living in that time that God says they're my servant. And you think, and it makes me wonder that God would say this of this man, "He's my servant." When I think of the name that Caleb has. Now, in the day in which we live, we give names because we want to identify this or that. And many times the names are just markers. to identify different people. We don't give too much thought to it. But that was not true in the days in which Caleb lived. In those days, a name was given by, either by some characteristic in the person or by the people's opinion of him. And so I look at this man and I see his name is Caleb. Well, what does Caleb mean? It means a dog. And it's almost as if that's the opinion the people had of him. He's a dog. Now, today, in this day in which we live, people have pets, dogs for pets, and they lavish a lot of attention upon them and a lot of money upon them and a lot of love upon them. But that was not the case for dogs in that day. A dog in that day was a creature of contempt. And so to call somebody a dog or to treat somebody like a dog was a sign of disrespect. You think of that man, Goliath, when he came out to David and he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with staves?" He was saying, "David, do you think I'm a dog?" And then the 22nd Psalm, the psalmist writes and he says, "The dogs have compassed me about." You see, it was a mark of contempt. And here it was, he is called a dog. Caleb, the dog. But isn't it wonderful that we have in the Word of God that while people may have that opinion of him and they looked down their noses at him and they held him in contempt, that the man, the one who searches the hearts, who says, "I, the Lord, search the hearts, I try the reins," he says, "He's my servant." And not only that, he's my faithful servant. And you know, when you think of that expression, when God says he's my servant, when we come to the New Testament, we find that to be called a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ was a high honor, an honor that was treasured by the apostles in the New Testament. The apostle Paul treasured that title, the servant of Jesus Christ. James treasured that title. Peter treasured that title. Jude mentions it, the servant of Jesus Christ. And they prized that title. And here's one. While the world thought of him with contempt, God gave him, elevated him with great honor, my servant. And then I see the next thing. Every time we have mentioned Caleb, he is always called the son of Jephunneh. And that impressed me very much because as we read through the Word of God, we find that the word son of Jephunneh, linked with Caleb, is mentioned 12 times. Now 12 speaks in the Scripture, speaks of the righteous government of God. And so in righteousness, God has put upon him this title, the son of Jephunneh. What does that mean? Well, it means a watcher or a beholder. It means somebody who is watching. And I think of the fact that because it's so well emphasized in our scriptures that he was watching how God would fulfill his promises. How God would do the things that he had promised. And he would have seen that. For in the up until Numbers chapter 13, there have been about 2 years. The children of Israel have been moving through the wilderness. They've built the tabernacle. They have built all those things, and they have traveled a little. And he would have seen how God had opened the Red Sea for them. How God had provided water at Marah. How God had provided for them at Elim. How God had provided water from the rock. And he would have seen all those things. And he was watching. And he was beholding. And it was strengthening his faith. And he said, and it says that he was a beholder. And you know, when I think of that as a beholder, I think again of in the New Testament, we come over to the New Testament and we find those words, "Behold the Lamb of God." Behold the Lamb of God. And there were two individuals standing with John the Baptist when he said that. And one was the Apostle John. And as you read through the Gospel of John, you'll see that John is setting one scene after another of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, he shows us the Lord at a wedding. Chapter 2, John shows the Lord in the temple. He's cleansing the temple. Chapter 3, he shows us that scene of the Lord teaching. Chapter 4, he's reaching out to a lost soul. And he's bringing salvation to a city. And as you go on and on through John's gospel, one scene after another of the Lord Jesus Christ, and John is beholding. John says, finally, "That which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have looked upon," John beheld that one. And he beheld the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I find the next item, and a number of times it refers to Caleb, and it says, "Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite." And that is a remarkable title as well. A Kenizzite, that word just means a seeker. Someone who is seeking. Seeking and seeking and seeking. Now, what was he seeking? Well, he was seeking that which God had promised. As he went through the land of promise, he was seeking out where he would ask for his possessions. He was seeking out that which he would need. And you know, when I think of Caleb seeking his possession in the land, I think of the fact that when they came to that land, and they went out through that land, and they spotted through that land, and Caleb had his eye on something. And Caleb never forgot. For the next 45 years, I think every time he would think of going into the land, he would think, "That's what I want. That's what I want." He was seeking that day when he would get it. And you know, it should remind us in the New Testament. And it brings to my mind the Thessalonians in the first chapter. They were watching for his son from heaven. They were seeking that day, watching for that day when Christ would come. And you know, there came that day when they had entered into the land of promise. And they had conquered the people of the land of the promise, and the land of promise, and now they have gathered, and they have gathered before Joshua, and Caleb goes to Joshua and he says, "Joshua, do you remember what God promised me, that I could have the land I wanted?" And now Caleb says an interesting thing. He says, "Joshua, Don't believe what I say about how God has blessed me. Look at my life. Look at me and see how God has blessed me." And he says, "Look, I'm 85 years of age. I am as strong today as I was 45 years ago. I can go out and I can come in just as I was 45 years ago." It was as if God stopped the aging clock for Caleb. And for 45 years, he never aged a single day. And all that time, he would see that there would be person after person. They would age, and they would die, and they would be buried. And Caleb never aged. God had preserved his life. Because God said in him, there was a different spirit. In him. And God, and Caleb is saying, "You look at me. See how God has blessed me. See how God has kept me alive. Then he said to Joshua, Joshua, you remember what they were afraid of? They said that in that land of Canaan, there were giants. And those giants lived in the land, in the city of Anak. They lived in that, and it was a big city, and a fenced city, and it was a large city. And he said, and they were afraid to go in, because that's the first city they would have had to pass to go into the land. And they were afraid to go in. Well, Caleb says, Joshua, that's the city I want. You give me that city, and I'll take that city. If God is with me, I'll take it. Joshua said to Caleb, there it is, it's yours. You go up that hill to that city, and you conquer that city. Caleb went up that hill, he conquered that city, and he moved into that city, and he took possession of the city of Hebron. And that city, God blessed Caleb because of Caleb's faith. He looked at that city and said, it's no obstacle. Those giants are no obstacle. And he dispossessed those giants. He cast them away. He cast them out of that city. And you know, when I think of Joshua, or of Caleb, conquering that city and conquering all those giants, it makes me think of another one from the tribe of Judah. A number of years later, and this young lad from the tribe of Judah goes into the valley and slays a giant. There was a tribe of giant killers, the tribe of Judah, and they took possession of it. And you know, God didn't just stop with giving Caleb the city. Yes, Caleb, you've got the city. God said, Caleb, you're not finished. No, Caleb, you'll still have work to do. And God said to the children of Israel, since you have taken possession of the land, Hebron will be one of the cities of refuge. Hebron will be that place where those in danger and those who have by accident have slain a neighbor or a friend can flee to that for protection. And Caleb, you will protect them. And Caleb never flinched at what God, the promise, the burden that God had given to him. And then God said, and Caleb, that's not all. Not only are you going to hold Hebron, and not only are you to provide refuge for the seeker, but Caleb, I'm going to give you the responsibility for the priests. And he sent the priests to live in Hebron. That city that Caleb had taken possession of, that city, and he had welcomed in those priests, those Levites who now came to live. And when you come over to the New Testament, to Luke's Gospel, you will find in chapter 1 there's a man, Zacharias, and he and his wife come from the hill country of Judea. What's that hill country? That's Hebron. They've come from Hebron, that city. And God is looking down through all those years, and he sees that because of the faith of this man, Caleb, God would bring from that city a man who would come into the temple, who would worship God in the temple, and to that family would be born the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you think of that, that God laid all of these things upon this man because he was a man who had a different spirit. But I believe that at one time he thought that he was all alone in believing that God had given a promise and God would fulfill it. Even though we read now from our scriptures and we find he was wrong, but for a few moments he believed that maybe he was all alone and he was willing to stand for God. And God said, he is my servant. He has wholly followed me. And in him there is a different spirit from those of around him. Now, the time is up, and I really would like to have got to Rahab, but Rahab we'll have to save for another day. We might speak to the Lord in prayer. Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who bled and suffered and died for us. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us precious promises in Thy Word, promises that we can lay hold upon, and we can look forward to that day when Thou wilt fulfill those promises. And we pray for Thy guidance over us this evening. Our Lord Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.